This is Dear Analyst, episode number 39. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how you can quickly get a list of random names from your spreadsheet. And if you, I'm taking a little experiment with this episode by actually doing a screencast of what I'm doing, so that you're not just hearing what I'm doing, but you can actually watch this on YouTube and see how I'm actually applying the formulas and getting this random list of names. So the video here, the YouTube video is just in the show notes. If you just go into your podcast player or whatever, and you can follow along by watching the video. It's the same exact audio as what you're going to hear in this episode. So the use case, the problem here is you have a list of names, and if you follow along in the video, you have, I will see I have a list of random, well, not random, they're my, just some favorite TV characters from the 90s, from different 90s shows, like Homer Simpson, Joey Tribbiani, Carlton Banks, just a bunch of random names. And the problem is, you want to quickly get a random list of names. You want to quickly get this, you have a list of students, you have a list of names, you have a list of whatever it is, and you want to just pull out a random list of 5, or a random list of 10. And you want a quick way of doing this without having to just like pick randomly from this list. You want to have a repeatable and scalable way to always get random names or random list of people based on a few parameters. The formulas we're going to talk through here, they also work in Excel. So I'm doing this in Google Sheets, but everything I'm doing here also works in Excel too. So I have this random list of names from rows 2 through 14. So that is 13 names. This is all in column B. And the first thing I'm going to do is, let's assume this is like a list of your students in a class. In column A, I'm going to write random number. And this is going to just be using the rand function in Google Sheets. So if I just start writing equals rand in cell A2, then rand left parentheses, right parentheses, hit rand, and then fill that formula down. You'll see I have like a random decimal number next to each name in column A. And if I refresh the page, that number will always be change, will always change. So right now I'm just pressing Command R or Control R if you're on the PC, and that those numbers will always change because that formula is constantly changing. So now, how do I actually get a random list of names, knowing that I have this random number? So I'm going to go into column C here, and I'm going to use the sort formula in Google Sheets. So this is going to be called sorted numbers. And what I'm going to do is sort the list of random numbers in column A in descending order. So in column C1 or cell C1, so just to recap, if you're just listening, in column A, I have the rand number, the rand function rather, rand, left parentheses, right parentheses. In column B, I have my list of names. It could be a list of, I don't know, plants or whatever. In column C, I'm going to write equals sort, left parentheses. And then I'm going to select my range of random numbers, which is cell A2 through A14, comma. And the sort column is just like the column you want to sort on. So that's going to be 1, since we're only sorting on one column. And then the third parameter is whether you want ascending or descending. I'm just going to say descending. So I'm just going to say comma 0. Or you can put false 2. And when you hit enter, you're going to see that the numbers are now sorted. The random numbers from column A are now sorted in descending order in column C. Now, why is this important? So now that we know we have this random list of numbers in column C, but they're sorted, this can kind of act as the index we pull the random names from. So what do I mean by that? We know that column A will always be changing because these are random numbers, right? But you'll notice that column C is always going to sort. Whoops, I don't know why Buffy got chained there. You always notice that the sort will always sort the random numbers in descending order. I forgot to put a absolute reference here on the cell A2 through A14. Let's drag that down. Whoops. Actually, I need to delete this. And this should work now. Why isn't this working? I'm going to start this over. So C1, sort, left parentheses, A2 through A14, 0. Oops, no, it's 1, 0. And I'm going to go over here and make this absolute reference. And that works now. So every time I refresh the page, refresh the Google Sheet, whoop, that's not working the way I want it to. Let's try manual refresh. Every time I refresh the Google Sheet, column C will sort in descending order. So now if I want to get a random list of names in column D, I can just say random names, make that a bold. And I'm going to do a VLOOKUP of the column C. I'm going to call this kind of like my index on the name, because we know that one of these numbers will always match one of these random numbers. We know that one of the random numbers in column C will always match one of the random numbers in column A. The difference being that column C is sorted in descending order. So in column D, if I want to get the random name, I'm just going to do a VLOOKUP off of column C, which has a sorted random number. So equals VLOOKUP. Cell C2, and then my range is going to be A2 through B14, comma 2, comma 0. And because I'm pulling the second column, which is my name, put an absolute reference on the range, fill this down. And now every time I refresh the page, I don't know why I can't just press the Command R there, but if I refresh the page, my list of names will never change, but my list of random names will constantly change, because column A is a random number. Column C sorts that random number in descending order. Column D just pulls that name associated with that random number. So this is a way you can always get an updated random list of names, or a random list of whatever values you have, based on using the rand function. And you can, of course, hide these columns if you don't want to look at them, but I like seeing all my formulas and numbers. So to take this one step further, what if I only want to get back, I want to give you, the user, the ability to say, I only want 5 random names, or 1 random name, or 10 random names. I have a list of 13 here, remember that? So I'm going to say how many names in column F, and then column G is going to kind of be like the number you put, so I'm going to put the number 5 here for now, and I should put, let's put this in column, in row 1. So row 1, so F1 says how many names, G1 says number 5. I'm just going to bold this and make this yellow so you know that it's supposed to be something that the user is supposed to enter in a value. And normally I do blue for the font color, yellow for the fill color. And so this is going to represent the number that someone can literally type in, and we can get the list of random names down here. And so how do we get this number to tell Google Sheets that I only want to get back X number of names? We're going to use, I mean, there's multiple ways of doing this. The first thing I thought of was using the good old handy offset formula. So if I write equals offset, and how many rows, my cell reference is going to be D2, because that contains my list of names I want to pull back. So if I say D2, I don't want to shift any rows, I don't want to shift any columns, but I want to use G1, which contains number 5, as number of rows or height that I want to pull back from my offset function. And then how many columns of data I want, just 1. And I'm just going to move this G1 to an absolute reference like that. And there we go. So if I put the number 1 here, I only get 1 name back. In this case, it's Joey Tribbiani. If I put 5 here, I get 5 names. Uncle Phil, Kelly Kapowski, Phoebe, C. Vertical, Homer Simpson. And if I do 10, I'll get 10 names. 13, we'll get all 13 names. If I go 15, then it's going to give me just the names, just the list of names I have, which is 13. So this just makes your random list a little more user-friendly if you want to tell your Google Sheet how many names you want to pull back specifically. So I like this because it just gives you the user a little more control and flexibility over how you can pull back the random list of names. So that is this little tip for getting a random list of people or names from a Google Sheet or an Excel file. I will have to caveat and say that this is Google Sheet. You can do this in Google Sheets, obviously, given the RAND formula and the sort formula and the offset formula, but there are obviously many, many, many other tools that are built for just getting a random list of whatever. If you have a random list of numbers or whatever, there are many other tools out there for building a user-friendly way to pull back a random list based on what you want. There's actually a template that I in the Coda template gallery where I work, there's actually a random team generator template that I help put together with another person in the community that allows you to quickly get the random list of, allows you to create a set number of teams and then randomizes the list of names in each of those teams. And I'll link to that template in the show notes. But just caveat saying that there's many other tools you can use for getting a random list of names. But I like this one because you can do it in Google Sheets and Excel, and the formulas are not super complicated, I think, but serves a very simple purpose of just pulling in random names. Okay, the only other thing I want to talk about in this episode is another podcast that I've been listening to for quite some time now. It's actually a podcast from Google. And let me see if I can. It's just called the Google Cloud Platform Podcast. And this podcast is all about basically Google Cloud Platform. Google's like public cloud technology. And the one episode I wanted to talk about here is, I don't think there's an episode number, but it's the episode on documentation in developer best practices with Riona McNamara. And Riona has been with Google for quite some time now. She specializes in technical documentation for developer operations at Google. And the podcast is all about technical documentation. And one thing I love about, and if there's one thing I love, especially during this time of everyone's working remotely, is having good documentation when you are building an application, building a website, or any other tool, and you're walking someone through how to use that tool. Good documentation for me is like I love it. And also one of my pet peeves if someone doesn't document their processes very well. And in this episode, Riona talks about some of the challenges that people at Google face with documenting all their code, and how do you create a good culture around technical documentation. And she, near the end of the episode, around minute like 29 or 30, she walks through four different best practices for how you, if you're a developer or if you're a manager or CEO, whatever, if you want to encourage good documentation, if you work in kind of like a software industry or software company, she provides four different techniques that I thought are worth repeating and worth thinking about. So I'm just going to list them off right here. Number one is providing good functional requirements on the documentation. And this is kind of a little more meta, but like, what do you need your documentation to do? Is it to explain how to use a tool? Is it to explain the history of the tool? Is it to explain the code in the context of a bigger application? Having good functional requirements is number, like, a really good best practice. And I think if you don't have that goal set up out front, then people are just going to have all different types of documentation that doesn't follow a standard format and doesn't follow a and doesn't have a doesn't serve the purpose that good documentation is supposed to do. So at a high level, just setting the functional requirements for your documentation. Number two is, I think probably the most important one in my opinion, is having a focus on the barriers that prevent people from writing documentation in their environment where they're coding. And this is really kind of pointing at the different tools that you may be using for documentation. You know, the easiest thing is just Google Docs. You open up a Google Doc or some other kind of wiki. And the problem is that you have to constantly context switch. So if you are building a website in one area of the code and then you have to switch to a wiki or switch to a Google Doc, document things, it just creates a lot of friction and you get out of the flow of like what you're working on at the time. And so Riono mentions that at Google, at least, they have their tool for documentation that lives right alongside the IDE, so that as you're coding, you can actually write the documentation for the code right next to the code. And I've actually never seen this before. I mean, I always thought that when you are writing comments in your code, that's kind of like documentation, but that's not really good documentation. I think she's obviously referring to much more prose type of documentation that, and the tooling for that lives right alongside the code. So it's really easy to be working on a function and then be able to just like write the documentation around that function. And then the third thing she mentions is how you, thinking about how you can automate the documentation process. So I don't really know much about this in detail because I've never actually experienced it myself, but she points to the feature of internally at Google of if you accidentally or if you want to quickly write, if you come across an error message, there are standard modules or blocks you can use for formatting that error message in terms of how it lives in documentation, so that everywhere that in the documentation that's mentioning errors, then they'll have the same format, the same look and feel, so that as a person viewing the documentation, those visual cues let you know that this is something that can cause an error. And you've probably seen this. I mean, I'm thinking this is akin to when you look at like help articles and you see callouts for, hey, like this is outdated or this is going to be an error or bug. You see the same kind of formatting around that message. So it could be similar, could be related to that as well. And then number four, just another kind of meta point similar to number one, is every line that you write in your documentations should serve a purpose, just like when you're coding. This is something that I definitely don't do when I'm documenting something. A lot of times I like to write the background story and the context and, you know, what I was thinking at the time. And I think there's a place for that. I mean, I have written blog posts that talk about things I've built, but I mean, you can just like for my Excel, my blog post for this podcast, you've probably seen that I get pretty wordy. And I think what she's saying is internally, when you're trying to do technical documentation, every line should serve a purpose and every line should basically inform the user on what this code is doing and not so much on what you were thinking at the time, what's the history of this function. It just should just go into the meat and potatoes of what this code should do. And so I think that's a pretty important concept to hammer home. And it is a kind of like a meta point as well. So what else drew me to this episode? She mentioned like the importance of engineers and technical writers working together. And I think she also calls out one thing that I see quite often with some open source projects I've come across is the documentation for open source is even more critical because there is no central person or central team that's, you know, monitoring or in charge of the documentation. It's really relying on the crowd to provide that documentation so that future people who come across the project know how to use the code, know how to run the code, those kind of things. And yeah, I mean, I think when you're thinking about writing your own documentation for your own project, even if it's like a simple thing as an Excel file, like having a README on the first page, it's just putting all these best practices of writing only what you need to get the point across to the user so that they can run your Excel file and know how the formulas work. That is one type of technical documentation. Then there's another type, which is, you know, the things that I generally write are more lengthy blog posts that talk about the history and the context and what you were thinking and the different options you considered. That's a whole different type of like narrative type of blog post, but has bits and pieces of technical documentation interspersed in the writing. I think there's a place for that, and that's generally, I think, what you might call like developer advocacy kind of content or content marketing. And for me, it's a little more interesting because you can tell a story behind the documentation. But when it comes time to learning how to use a tool, when I read good documentation, I'm just like so happy because I know exactly where to look. I don't have to like message someone for questions. And when I get that good feeling, I try to pay it forward and just make sure my documentation is good and also succinct and accurate and properly formatted. Obviously, I'm not perfect. I definitely have written really bad documentation. But I think listening to this podcast has made me rethink applying certain standards to what I write when it comes to documentation. Okay, that will wrap it up for this episode. Hopefully this format of actually showing the Google Sheet with the formulas in the YouTube video will actually help you with learning these tips, aside from just reading the tips if you open up the show notes. And I try to put in screenshots too, but just let me know if this format works. And if it does, then I'll just keep on doing it this way because I think it makes more sense versus me trying to say, now in C1, write the offset formula. So yeah, hopefully this format works.